leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series, we talk with people in our community who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Ashley Alexander, founder of the nonprofit Parker's Purpose, a fundraising effort to purchase caring cradles for local hospitals, as well as support resources for lost families. Hosting today's conversation is KWBU's Community Engagement Coordinator, Rachel Velasco.
Ashley, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So first of all, let's get started and maybe just tell our listeners a little bit about you, where you're from, how long you've lived here, that kind of thing.
Okay. I have been in Waco almost my entire life. I did do a brief stint in East Texas, but we came back. And so I've been in Waco just about my entire life.
And so you have family here, or?
I do. Most of my family is all from the Waco and surrounding areas. We're all in this general vicinity.
So you're exactly what we would call a Waco native.
Yes, very much so.
Absolutely. So you've seen a lot of the changes that have happened across our community. And so the reason that I've asked you to be here today is to talk about your foundation that you started, which is Parker's Purpose. So if you'll tell me a little bit about the story of how Parker's Purpose came to be.
Okay. So in 2020, my husband and I had our daughter who was stillborn. We lost her at 18 weeks. When that happened, we were able to spend about 8 hours with her at the hospital, which most people don't even get that amount of time with their babies when that happens. So in the days and weeks following that loss, I saw this advertisement for a cradle, this specialty cradle on social media, did a ton of research trying to figure it out and knew our hospital needed one of those. And Parker's Purpose Foundation was born.
So tell me a little bit about the caring cradle, because this is something that I didn't know existed. I don't think you did either before.
No, I knew nothing about it until our loss happened and randomly scrolling through social media on other sites about loss and grief. And there it was. So the Caring Cradle is a specialty cooling device. It looks just like a regular bassinet that you would have at the hospital, but it has a special cooling pad in it. So that way you can lay the baby in it, wrap them up, and keep your baby with you for up to 3 days in the hospital after a stillbirth.
Wow, 3 days is such a long time. And I can you talk a little bit about why being able to extend that time is so important for lost parents? Because I think this is something, if you haven't experienced the loss of an infant, it wouldn't be something you would think about. But why is that so important?
So imagine, you're losing your child. You have a child. You could just spend their entire life. When you lose a baby, their entire life is down to hours, minutes. So you don't have that time with them. And it's, 3 days is still, you have to try to cram a lifetime into 3 days. I mean, that's short as it is. Can you imagine if you didn't have that opportunity or didn't have that cradle? It's literally their whole life and all of those things in minutes or hours.
Yeah. So you saw this and thought, well, we need this here in Waco. And so your first instinct was, hey, let's start a foundation. Or what made you get there? What was that path like for you?
It was very rapid. It was, we need this cradle. How do we get it? What do we need to do? And let's get other people involved. Let's, try to figure out a way to support our community, because this doesn't just involve me. There are other families that are going through this same thing, and I didn't want anybody else to have to go through that without the cradle. So, we literally did research, and I reached out to contacts from work that had a lawyer friend from the office, and I made phone calls and said, how do I make this happen? How do I get this nonprofit started? Because this needs to be something for our community.
And so the nonprofit was started at the end of 2020 or
yes.
The beginning of 2021?
So we did start it at the end of 2020. We got our official, exemption status and everything from the IRS and all of that good stuff in February of 21. But so it took us a little bit of time to get all of that, but we did get it.
And so you don't have any experience with this, right? It's not like you had been a part of a nonprofit board before. You had never really been active in a specific nonprofit capacity or anything. So you just figured this out from start to finish, right?
Yes, I just winged it. we just winged it.
And so whenever you went through that process, What was the goal? Like, the goal was to get the cradle. So, but talk to me about what the strategy was. Like, we're going to set up this nonprofit, and then what's the strategy behind it?
So, really, the first cradle was funded by our family. So we did that through a donation, through just for our family. So we did that through us, and then we continued to just pursue it, you know, for the foundation, for the next one, for other things. So basically, I just reached out on social media. I put it out there and said, hey, this is what we want to do. Let's you know, rally as a community and, you know, see what kind of interest I could turn up and, you know, just kind of put it out there.
So the first cradle was donated to which hospital?
To Providence.
Okay, so Providence has now a caring cradle there.
They do have one.
And I know that the foundation has been instrumental in supporting the nurses and the staff there that deal with losses in other ways, too. So outside of the cradle, what other support has Parker's Purpose brought to them?
So we also gather up blankets. So we have other local churches and community members knit handmade little blankets and hats for the babies. So they go from teeny, teeny, tiny to full size, full term, infant size. And they just hand make them and they donate them to the foundation. So we have donate totes and totes of little tiny blankets and hats from, you know, local community members. Then we also have carry packages. So our boxes, they've kind of evolved over the last couple years as time has gone on, as we figure out what best suits our, you know, moms and you know, in the community. So they have tea and a little mug and clips for your hair or lip balm and lotions, things like that you would, you know, if you found yourself in the hospital, you wouldn't have if it was unexpected. And then the bunny.
We have to talk about the bunny.
Tell me the
story of the bunny, please.
So Parker, our daughter, her nickname is Bunny. And so the absolute perfect thing to donate to the hospital is for every family to go home with a bunny.
Yes.
So, yes.
And her logo on Parker's Purpose is a bunny.
Yes.
And so that theme actually runs all the way through, because I know that there's also an event that the foundation puts on every year. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. So our event is called the Fluffle Shuffle, which is the best name ever.
And why did you pick Fluffle?
So a Fluffle is a group of rabbits.
Yes, of course it is.
So, I mean, what else could it be? So we have the bunny logo, and you know, we're, so a group of rabbits is a Fluffle, and what better name than the Fluffle Shuffle?
And what do you do at the Fluffle Shuffle?
So the Fluffle Shuffle right now is just a walk. We just finished up our third annual walk, and so we gather, we say a few words, we come in together in community, and then we walk for a predetermined amount of time. And along the walk path, we have signs with our babies' names. So families can purchase a sign or have one donated by someone in the community and put them along the walk. So as we walk, we can see all of those babies' names and we can remember them, you know, while we're walking.
And what made you decide, like when you were thinking about this, I think that talking about loss, especially talking about infants and children that have passed, is something that's very, very difficult for most people. And so this idea of having the baby's names there on display, and then families can come out, the community can come out and walk and remember the baby's names. How was that received by the parents, by the families that you reached out to try to get them to be a part of the Fluffle Shuffle?
Oh, absolutely. So the families that have experienced loss, they are so thankful to be able to take this time to honor their baby and remember their baby. It's a very, very touchy subject. It's a taboo subject. So there's a lot of people whose families don't take the time to honor their children or remember their children. So it's a special day that they can do that. They can see their baby's name and know that someone is remembering them.
So you mentioned this taboo subject, and this is something that I think isn't talked about very much, because talking about loss, grief is hard anyway, even if, you know, you've lost a family member or a friend or a coworker. It's hard to know what to say in those moments because it's something that's really heavy. But I think it adds that particularly difficult layer when you're talking about an infant or a baby. And people just, they don't know what to say. So what would you say to a family member or a friend who knows someone who's had a loss in their life? How can they best support that person?
Remember their baby. Say their name. Remember special dates. Remember that baby's birthday or due date. You know, just take the time to remember them. If you send them a Christmas card, put the baby's name on the card too. You know, and make sure you include them, you know, as part of that member's family.
I think that's something that maybe people didn't realize it could be that simple, right?
Yeah. I mean, they don't need, you know, big extravagant things to, you don't have to start a foundation or a nonprofit to remember your baby or remember somebody else's baby. But, you know, just acknowledge them, remember them on special dates, remember their birthday. And just a simple text that said, thinking of you today. Just, you know, just acknowledge it.
Yeah. I think that's great advice. And so we're talking about how, you know, this subject can be a little bit taboo. I think you've run into that as you've been doing outreach in the community a little bit. Tell me about some experiences that you may have had with this being sort of a taboo subject.
Yeah. So even in just fundraising, you know, you're telling people, you know, what your nonprofit is for, that, you know, tends to make people a little bit uncomfortable. But we did want to set up a booth at a local event that was specialized for moms in our community. And so we reached out. I was talking to the host of this event, and they just straight up said, I'm sorry, I don't think this is a good fit for you. We don't want to make our guests uncomfortable. So while it was geared towards moms who, you know, 1 in 4 women has experienced the loss of a child, whether it be miscarriage or stillbirth, 1 in 4. So out of all of these women that are coming, you know, one of them has experienced this and we could support them, but they didn't want to make other people uncomfortable.
And how did that make you feel?
It made me real upset, to say the least. Yeah, I could say a few choice words, but I won't. But yeah, it's very disheartening, you know, to know that you're here to support the community and, you know, on the chance that someone may get their feelings hurt, that we're not accepted.
How do you think we can make that change? Like, what are some conversations we can be having just, you know, in our own churches or civic groups or friend groups that makes this easier to talk about and less taboo?
I think just acknowledging it, you know, this understanding that it happens. It happens to 1 in 4. Like, the person sitting next to you has had someone, you know, either if they have not experienced a miscarriage or stillbirth themselves, the person next to him has. So just knowing that it's okay to talk about it and just bring it up and say, you know, October 15th is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Day. And the month of October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. So maybe in the month of October, have your church or your organization, your office, do something special. Let them wear pink and blue for the day because that's the colors of the awareness ribbon. Just acknowledge it. That's all it takes.
So when you're out in the community, because I know you have been at other events where you've set up and had information and, you know, you take donations and whatever, what has the response been from the community when you do go to these events?
So when we are there, we get the best reaction from our community. It's because they feel seen. They come up and they're like, oh, we got one of your boxes, or my coworker received one of your boxes, or they were able to use the cradle, or I've not been at any event where there has not been someone that has either used our box or our cradle or knew someone that has. So I've had someone at every event come up and thank us and, you know, just for being, you know, being able to provide those things, those little comfort items.
So I think that, you know, that just underscores how this really is something that's so prevalent in our community, and it has such a hush over it still. But hopefully those tides are turning. So if folks out there are wanting to support what you're doing, like, what's the best way for them to support you?
So you can support Parker's purpose and our mission. You can always make donations. We'll always gladly accept donations. But just putting the word out there, sharing, we post on social media all the time with little tips and tricks on how to support those around you and then events coming up. So even if you can't donate anything monetarily, we will take your support just, you know, on social media. Share it and acknowledge it with your friends.
And how do they find you on social media?
So you can find us on Instagram or Facebook at Parker's Purpose TX. And then we also have our website, which is parkerspurposetx.org.
And whenever, so say, you know, they're on your social media and they see that there's an event going up, like, share all that good stuff. But if somebody actually wants to get involved and maybe volunteer, or they have a special heart and mission for this, maybe somebody in the community wants to, they have hats that they're knitting that they'd like to donate. Are there ways that people can get involved by donating time as well?
Oh, absolutely. So we're always welcome. I mean, anybody that wants to make any more hats or blankets, that is always in need. Unfortunately, it will continue to be in need. So we will gladly accept any donations. Just reach out and we can absolutely accept those donations and tell you what we need and give you dimensions and sizes and all of that good stuff. And then as well, we always use volunteers. So especially for the Fluffle Shuffle, the more hands we have, the better. You know, set up and take down and just, you know, even just walking with us. But, you know, yeah, we always need volunteers.
And the best way to do that is just to reach out via your website or any of your social media.
Any of the social media or the website.
Okay, great. And so let me go back to the Caring Cradle for just a minute, because we talked about you did donate one to Providence. Mm-hmm. Has the foundation, are you in the process of donating any additional ones? Are you in the fundraising for anyone right now, or where are you in the process?
Yeah, so we did the one at Providence here in Waco. Then we also did one at Seton in Round Rock. So we've donated two cradles so far. We are in the process of fundraising for a third. So there is a hospital in Harker Heights that they had one, but theirs broke. So now they're needing a new one. So we are in the process of raising the funds for a new one purchased for that hospital in Harker Heights.
And what is the cost of a Caring Cradle?
So they are about $6,500.
Wow.
Yes. They're very pricey. And that doesn't even include shipping or anything else. So that is just the cradle itself.
So just the cost of the cradle alone.
Yes.
Wow. And are there other local community hospitals that you know of that don't have one? Like, what about Hillcrest?
Hillcrest does have something similar. It's not exactly this exact Caring Cradle that we provide, but they do have a similar device that does something, you know, that does do the same thing. It's just a different device.
Okay. But if anybody knows of a local hospital or anything like that that is in need of one, they can reach out to you as well and kind of get on a list or something.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we're always taking requests so that way we kind of keep a tally of who needs one and when they need it and if they have one. So we have a list running. So if anyone wants to request one for their hospital, we can absolutely do that.
Cool. Okay, so now I want to talk a little bit more about you, because, you know, you've really given us you're doing so much. I mean, the foundation really is filling a need that's so important in the community. But what made you decide that you were the right person to do this and step forward? I mean, like I know, you know, we talked before, you don't have tons of experience in this. Leadership isn't like top of your resume. I mean, you work hard, you're a mother and a friend, and, you know, you're active in your community. But this is a big leadership role that you've stepped into. And so what made you decide that you were the one to do this?
It definitely just kind of happened because that is not my typical go-to. I am very much an introvert, so this is very outside my wheelhouse for sure. I saw a need, and, you know, it just needed to happen. So it was just, dig your heels in and step forward, and somebody has to do it. There is nobody else here doing it, so it needs to happen.
What would you say to other people that think, you know, like, well, I see a need in my own community, or I want to support something that my kids are doing, or, you know, my neighbors need or something like that, but they don't feel like they're the right one? What would you tell them?
You're always the right one. Just step up and do it. It's rewarding enough. You will find your path. You will find your way. You can do it. Just step up and do it.
And how do you lean on your community to help support and rally around you to do this? Because I feel like you have to have help, right? Like, you can't do everything on your own. None of us can. So what has that process been like for you?
So when we started, our family has been a great support. So they absolutely jumped in and were 100% on board. And it's very much, what do you need? What can we do? And they have been a major, major help. So they have, you know, stepped up and gone above and beyond. So yes, we have good friends and family.
Yes. And when you think about how far the foundation has come since the very beginning, when this first started with you and your family, how do you think it's changed you as a person?
Oh, it has absolutely made me more confident in myself, just being able to put it out there, and just, you know, sharing my story. That's a big one. You know, sharing your story of loss and talking about that all the time, that's a big thing. But it's definitely given me more confidence, you know, not only in the role of, you know, running the foundation, but even just in my daily life, you know, at work and at home.
What do you do with that confidence? Like, how does that make you different? I mean, I feel like it does change you in a lot of ways. But how do you see that really like playing out in your day to day?
Well, I mean, 10 years ago, I would never be doing a radio interview. I would have never stepped foot in here. So that's a big jump. That's a big leap.
Just to be clear, those of you out there listening that are thinking about stepping into leadership doesn't mean you're automatically going to get sucked into a radio booth. So if that's like your fear, don't let that stop you. But really, though, like stepping out of your comfort zone.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and at work, I was, you know, I'm not an outgoing person, but I've stepped into that and I find myself taking challenges at work and being more outgoing and speaking to people in public. You know, and just embrace it.
How do you think that leadership, how do you think it affects the people around you? So like when you say, you know, this isn't my wheelhouse, but here I am, I'm doing it. How do you think that like ripples out into the people that you are working with or that are in you're in community with? Like, how do you see that that's making a difference? Not just the foundation itself, which is making a difference for individual families, but your newfound confidence and your ability to lead. Like, how do you see that making a difference?
I think and I hope that they see that, if she can do that, then I can do that too. I can step out there. I can put myself, you know, in an uncomfortable situation and I'll walk away unscathed. I can do it.
Yeah. Can you this is a little bit of a push on that, but like what are some of those uncomfortable situations besides being in an interview with me here in the booth? But what are some of those uncomfortable situations that you've been in and that you've been able to say, you know, I can get through this?
Well, I mean, just even talking to other families about loss, that's another big one, because not only is it vulnerable for myself talking about mine, but then they're being vulnerable to talk about theirs, and just being able to have those conversations with complete strangers, that's a big step.
Have you had any stories that have really been impactful, like specifically to you?
So the very first family that used the cradle, once it was donated, they reached out and told us the story about their little boy. And it was, I don't even know how to describe it, honestly. Told us all about him, told us his story. I don't want to share it,
sure,
because that's theirs to
their
share.
Yes. But
knowing that they were able to spend time with their son, and they were so thankful, and it's heartwarming because, you know you help that family, but it's also heartbreaking because you know what that family is going through. But just being able to, you know, hear them say, you know what, thank you. This made a huge difference. Our families were able to come to the hospital and meet our son, which that's the only way they were going to meet him. They got to come and, you know, see him on the day that he was born and spend time with him that they wouldn't have had otherwise.
I think hearing those types of stories, you said it's heartwarming and heartbreaking. How do we get those stories out? Like, what's a good way for people to share those in a wider way, right? Because as we keep talking more about what it means to live through this kind of grief, it is very personal. Like you said, you don't want to be sharing people's details. But hearing those stories of how impactful that is, I think that makes a difference to the wider community saying, okay, this is so important to these families. Maybe the most important thing that's ever happened to them in some ways, right? Getting that extra little bit of time, it can make such a difference.
Yes.
So in your mind, when you're talking about these stories of these different families and hearing the impact that it has, how do you translate that into the plans that you're making for the next steps in Parker's Purpose? I mean, I know you're continuing to raise funds for cradles. You're continuing to put together these boxes. And you're meeting with these families and kind of having these personal relationships and building this sort of community. But what do you see coming up in the future?
I would like to see a ton more hospitals with the Caring Cradles. I would really like to have one in all of the hospitals in all of Texas. That is a major, major goal, and I would love for that to happen. But that is definitely a long-term goal. We have actually started sending our monies nationwide. So as long as funds allow, families all over the United States can actually request one of our Parker's Purpose bunnies to be sent to them. And I would really like to expand our boxes to other hospitals as well, not just our local hospitals.
And the boxes, so tell me again, like you're putting in care items and you're putting in a bunny, which
yes,
is important. And so when you're bringing those to the hospital, is it the nursing staff that's giving those to folks, or how is that being distributed?
It is. So it is passed out by the labor and delivery. That department has them, and they keep all of those, and they keep track of all the boxes. So they're passing them out. And when a family comes in that's experiencing loss, they'll be able to give them that box, so they'll be able to go home with something. And the box, they can put their other things for their baby in that box as well. So it's a little bit bigger, so that way they can have a place to put everything.
And have you built relationships with these, the different staff at the different hospitals here?
We have. And it's so good to, you know that they're there to help us support those families too. So it's definitely nice to have a relationship at both hospitals.
And when you're going and building these relationships, I mean, obviously that's definitely stepping out and
it is
out of the comfort zone. So what are those conversations like when you're meeting new people that are working in the same area? Like, how are you talking to them, and what kinds of encouragement are you giving them?
So we're just trying to equip them for the conversations they need to have. So we have other links to other websites and pamphlets that help them have those conversations with those families, as well as, you know, any family that comes in currently or later on, they can learn to build those relationships and know what to say to those families and what not to say to those families. So it's been really nice to be able to talk to them.
Is there any sort of a support group for lost families that Parker's Purpose is a part of? Or are there places people can go if they've had a loss that they'd like more information?
So there is a group here in town called Cradled by Love, Hope, and Healing. I am a part of that as well. So we do partner with them sometimes to do some support groups. It is shifting more towards a more online support group, but we are working on that. And we would, in the future, we would like to add a support group for dads as well, but that's still a work in progress.
You mentioned that. How has that been for your family from the dad's perspective? I know you're not the dad, but you know, that's definitely a different dynamic there. And so how has that worked out?
No, absolutely.
Family?
So a lot of people forget the dads. You know, and they've experienced the loss of their child too. Not only are they losing their child, but they're seeing their spouse go through something that's horrible, and they're having to be a supporting partner, you know, and a grieving father. So it's a big, you know, burden on the father as well. And most people don't talk about that. So, you know, we would like to change that.
Are there any resources that you know of right now specifically for dads in our community?
There's not right now. I would really like to work on that, and that's in the game plan. But there's not really anything right now for dads.
Yeah, I think that just really underscores and highlights how this topic, it really isn't in the forefront. It's not in the minds of a lot of people, you know, healthcare workers, community partners. So the work that you're doing really is kind of pioneering in our community in a lot of ways, because it really isn't being done yet. And it's so important. And so with our last little bit of time here, I'd just like for you to, you know, give us what you would like to see, not just for Parker's Purpose, but for the lost community here in Waco. How would you like to see the community kind of rally around? What can the people listening do right now to be a part of making this a safer space for those families?
Don't be afraid to talk about it. And don't be afraid to ask questions. And if you know someone that's experienced it, talk to them. Ask them about them. Ask them about their baby. Ask them, you know, ask them what you can do to support them. I mean, they're the best ones to know what they're going to need. So just ask. I mean, and when talking with them, just say, I'm sorry if you hear about it. They don't need platitudes. Mm. Just, you know, just be there to support those around you.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. You know, just being present and being there and letting folks know that they matter to you. And so, well, you matter to me. Thank you so much for being here, Ashley. And we're just so grateful for your time this morning.
I appreciate you having me.
This episode of the Central Texas Leadership Series was recorded October 21st, 2024 in the KWBU studio. Listen to this and past episodes on kwbu.org.